the way maker, amen. We stand here because he made a way, amen. And his way is not always our way, but he still makes a way, amen. Hallelujah. Oh, what an exciting day. What an exciting day. God is good. God is good. Wow. You guys look so awesome. I want to introduce some people we have with us from Elam this morning. They're going to join with us a part of this service as we pray. But I want to introduce to you, first of all, Mac and Judy Crummer and Kelly and Ron Bourdeau. They are here from City Gate Church in Stratford, an awesome prophetic church. And we are so glad that you could be here with us today, and we welcome you. You already have heard that Sandra Gooderham is in the house, and she's anointed a prophetic speaker, and we're glad to have her with us. And then we have John and Marilyn Brooks. They are our regional directors for the Toronto region, and we welcome you this morning. And back there we have Colin Pacey. He's our regional director for South Central Ontario, which is this area, and we welcome you. And then we have Bob Warner, Vice President of Elam Canada. And I'm just so glad you're all able to join us today. Wow, this is awesome. Pastor Dunstan's ordination service. And there will be some formality to it. I want to share some words. But I just want to say, I was thinking about this. And so I will be speaking some words, probably mostly to Pastor Dunstan, and I invite you all to listen in, because I think we can all hear and learn. But I'm so filled with joy today, because I remember when we first met, and I was looking for someone to walk with and mentor, and you were looking for someone to be mentored, and the number of years we've walked together, it's been an honor for me and an encouragement to see the anointing of God in your life, the humility of spirit, the willingness to serve. And for us to come to this day is just the blessing of the Lord. It's been so good, and I'm so excited for both you and Jessica. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, we read these words. It says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me the strength that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy. It's an amazing, amazing verse. But what it tells me, ministry, the call of God on a person's life, is first and foremost the result of his grace and mercy at work in our lives. You know, he calls us. He makes the way. He strengthens us. He enables us. And then he appoints us. But we also have a role to play. And that role is to respond in faithfulness. It says here, appointing me to his service, that he considered me faithful. He calls, he anoints, he appoints, he does that. But we have a role to play, and that is to respond to him in faithfulness. And as one writer put it, he wrote this, we have a great trust committed to us, being made stewards of the manifold grace in the mysteries of God. So today, we publicly acknowledge the faithfulness of Pastor Dunstan Gomes to serve the Lord and honor God's appointment on his life through this act of ordination. In Acts chapter 13, the Holy Spirit said, set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them to. And then they placed their hands on them and sent them. And so in a few minutes, that's what exactly what we're going to do. We're going to lay hands on Pastor Dunstan and Jessica, and we're going to release an impartation of the Holy Spirit, setting them apart to the work that God has called them to do. And, you know, we recognize the actual ordination is with Pastor Dunstan, but it affects Jessica, his wife. They are one, and they stand together. So we're going to lay hands on the both of them and release an anointing of the Holy Spirit and appoint them and set them in place to the work that God has called them to do. But before I do that, I want to share a few thoughts with you. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 to 4, Paul urges Timothy. He says to Timothy, preach God's word. Preach God's word. And that's the first and the foremost, because the word of God is where we find the truth and the foundation for our hope. His word is unfailing, amen? It's the anchor that we can hang on to. There is no error in God's word. God's word is complete. It contains everything that we need to live life and to give instruction. It's totally authoritative. It is the truth, and it is the only truth that is able to set us free, and it is totally sufficient for all of our needs. Because the word of God will accomplish all what it promises to do. So Paul says to Timothy, preach, preach the word. Because God's word is active, it's alive, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And you like quoting this. His word can cut through our spirit and soul, through our joint and our marrow, until it discovers the thoughts and intents of our heart. The word will set us free. So Paul urges Timothy, he says, preach the word, preach the word. And he says, do it willingly, even if it isn't the popular thing to do. And he says, you must correct people and point out their sins, but also cheer them up when you instruct them. Always be patient. He says, the time is coming when people won't listen to good teaching. Instead, they will look for teachers who will please them by telling them only what their itching ears want to hear. Yes, right now. They will turn from the truth, and they'll eagerly listen to senseless words. But you must stay calm. And then he has this line. You must stay calm and be willing to suffer. You must work hard to tell the good news and do your job well. Preach the word. Correct, exhort, rebuke, encourage. Tell the good news, even if it's unpopular. And that's what we're to do. That's our calling. That's what we're to do as ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But now I want to talk to you a little bit for the next few minutes about who you're to be. Because we know what we're to do. But I want to talk to you about who you're to be. Because ministry is both, it's amazing. To see people touched by the power of God, to see people respond to the word of God, to see people changed and come into faith of God is absolutely amazing. There's nothing more rewarding to be able to encourage someone and see them come alive in the things of God. But there's also challenge. Some aren't going to like what you have to say. Some aren't going to receive it. Some will mock you. And as Paul said, you must stay calm and be willing to suffer. And if anyone experienced the pressure of ministry, it was Paul. He was shipwrecked, ridiculed, imprisoned, beaten, whipped, all for the sake of the gospel. Through it all, he remained true. And as you read down in that chapter, this is his testimony, and you'll see it in verse 8. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. He was able to look forward with joy to the reward that was in store for him from the Lord. And as I read that, I thought, what can we learn from Paul so we can finish well, so that we can too finish well? And so I want to take a quick look at Paul's, I'll call it his ordination service in Acts chapter 13. And I want to read verses 1 to 5. And there we read, "In the church at Antioch there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manan, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and they sent them off." The two of them sent them on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues, and John was with them as their helper. First thing that struck me as I was reading that is Paul was a man of God's presence. It says, while they were worshiping. Paul's commission came out of the place of worship as he was in communion with God. Paul was first and foremost a worshiper. His cry, we see as recorded in Philippians chapter 3, was that I may know him. That I may know him. Nothing. There was nothing that was more precious, more valuable to God, or more valuable to him than God's presence. Paul said nothing compares to the surpassing knowledge of the greatness of knowing him. Paul was a man of God's presence. You know, Moses was another great leader called by God to lead the people out of captivity into the promised land. And what was his cry? And I was thinking, that's what we're supposed to do, right? Lead people out of the captivity of sin into his place of promised freedom. And I was thinking, what? Listen to what Moses' cry was. He says, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. For how will anyone know that you are pleased with me and your people unless you go with us? And he goes on, what will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? What sets us apart? It's his presence. It's his presence. It's his presence that makes all the difference. It's his presence that will separate us from all the other voices that are out there. You know, some of you may remember A.I. Gill. Some of you may know him from the teaching in the International School of Ministry. But I was listening to him, and he was teaching on worship. And he made a comment that stood out to me, and I wrote it down so that I would never forget it. Because I look at it from time to time for myself. And he said, I didn't get into ministry to build a large church or a big ministry. I didn't get into ministry to build a large church or a big ministry or a big organization. He says, I got into ministry because I love Jesus. I got into ministry because I love Jesus. Nothing compares to the excellency of knowing him, that I might know him. Amen? I got into ministry because I love Jesus. And you know what? The enemy of our soul wants to weigh us down with all sorts of false expectations. He wants us to fall into what I call the performance trap. And he ultimately wants to pull us away. His purpose in all of that is to pull us away from our first love, which is Jesus. And if we lose our first love, we lose the reason why we responded to the call of God, why we responded to ministry in the first place. And if we lose that, we lose our anchor. Performance begins to replace passion. We get driven instead of led. And when the pressure gets unbearable, we fall. You see it all over. See, that's the strategy of the enemy. He wants to drive you so as to disqualify and destroy you. Paul never lost his first love. His heart's cry was always, I want to know him. I want to know Jesus. I want to know you, Jesus. I want to know the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in his suffering. I wish he wouldn't have said that part. Becoming like him in his death. I want to know Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. It is you, Jesus, that I adore. He says, I consider everything else loss. Everything. What might that include? Everything. My great plans, my ministry ambitions, and you know what? We need vision. And we need goals. And we need to set goals. We need to have all of those things. But they can never be a substitute for our first love. And that's Jesus Christ. Nothing compares. He says, I consider everything loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. And if we want to finish this race well, we must be people of his presence, worshipers of Jesus. Amen? Secondly, Paul was a man of prayer. It says, after they fasted and prayed. I like that. After they fasted and prayed, the Holy Spirit said. Because it's in the place of prayer we get God's action plan. And it's interesting, nothing went forward until they finished praying. And so after they had fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and sent them. And then in Acts chapter 6, verse 4, the apostle said, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and ministry, to prayer and the ministry of the word. Prayer was the first priority of the early Christian leaders from which ministry flowed. Prayer was first, and ministry flows out of that place. E.M. Bounds, probably most of you have either heard or are somewhat familiar with E.M. Bounds. He says, what the church needs today more than anything, more than any other thing, is men and women who the Holy Spirit can use. Men and women of prayer, mighty in prayer. Alfred Lord Tennyson, he said this, he observed, and I love this, more things are accomplished by prayer than this world dreams of. Do we stop and think about that? How powerful prayer is. I am the Lord your God. I will not fail you. More things are accomplished by prayer than this world dreams of. And Edward Payson said, prayer is the first thing, the second thing, and the third thing necessary for a person to minister. Because it's in the place of prayer. It's in the place of prayer that God will give you revelation as to what he wants you to say. It's in that place of prayer he will tell you how to minister to those he has placed in your care. Because it's in that place of prayer, he will begin to show you the real need. I can't tell you how many times in the place of prayer, God has brought one of your faces before me and said, say this to them, or touch this. And he never, ever does it in a way to condemn or to hurt. He gives me things to say, and as I'm obedient to him, it's out of the place of prayer, his words of life, his understanding, so that the people in our care can come into freedom. But it comes out of the place of prayer because he will show you the real need. If we want to finish this race, we must be a people of prayer, a people of his presence, a people of prayer. And thirdly, Paul was dependent on the power of God. Verse 4 in chapter 13 says, they were sent by the Holy Spirit. You know what? Jesus Christ, by the power of his Holy Spirit, enables us to preach, to teach, and demonstrate his message with power, authority, and effect. Amen. Jesus Christ, by the power of his Holy Spirit, enables us to preach, teach, and demonstrate his word with effect. Paul said to the Corinthians, he says, I didn't come to you with great words of wisdom. And I go, thank you, Jesus. He says, I didn't come to you with great words of wisdom. He says, I determined to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. My preaching was not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. Why? That your faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Paul was dependent on the power of God. People need to see Jesus. They don't need to see me. They don't need to see you. They need to see Jesus Christ. Amen? He was a man dependent on the power of God. It's not about my ability, my persuasive words, but it's about him and the truth of his word as backed up by the power of the Holy Spirit so that they can know him. Amen? And put their trust in him. And that is so vitally important. It's so important to understand because we need to continually realize it's not about me. You know, I've been doing this thing for a long time, and I still have my wife who helps me, reminds me, Ralph, it's not about you. It's about Jesus. And that is so very, very important. She does it lovingly because she cares about me, because she knows my struggle. It's not about me. We get caught in that performance trap. But when we realize it's not about my persuasive words of human wisdom, but it's about the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit confirming his word with signs, wonders, and miracles so that the people might know Jesus. Amen? It's not about me. Amen. Give Jesus the glory if you're going to clap. It's not about me. It's about him. And you know what? It will help guard me against discouragement. Because it's not about my ability or perceived lack of ability. It's just not. I can grow. I can do things to learn and grow. But it's not about me or my ability or my perceived lack of ability. It's not about my perceived success or failure. It's not about any of that. It's all about Jesus and his enabling to preach, teach, and demonstrate who he is to a people and to a nation who so desperately need him. Amen? And then all the glory goes to him. It's not about me. It's about him. And it's about his power. Confirm his word with signs, wonders, and miracles so that their faith may be in him. Amen? It's not about me. It's about him. And if we want to finish this race well, we need to be people dependent on the power of God. Amen? And one last thing. Paul had partners. I don't know if we think about that a lot. Paul had partners. There was Paul and Barnabas, and we see that John went to help. And later we see Paul and Silas together. Then we see Paul, Silas, and Timothy. That tells me is Paul didn't work in isolation. He didn't work alone. He wasn't a lone ranger. He had people around him. And you know what? We need people around us. People who will support us, people who will challenge us, people who will encourage us, people who will care for us, people who will walk alongside of us. We need people. And God gives us people. Peter, remember? When he let out of prison, he went to a people. He went to his people. God gives us people who will stand alongside of us. We need people around us who will support, encourage, and challenge us. I remember talking to, I don't know if I shared this story with you or not, but I'll share it again. And if you haven't heard it before, it's a good story. I remember talking with a leader. He's a leader of a large national network. And he says, I have 10 people. I said, that's not, you have 10 people. He says, and I have assigned each one of them a job for me. He says, every month, one of those 10 people will call just to tell me how good I am. What? He says, yeah, every month for 10 months, and then I'm gone on vacation for two, I have a person who will call me, who will just encourage me and encourage me to keep going, who will encourage me to stand strong, who will encourage me in the things of the Lord. Because I have enough of the other in my life. I need some people who will encourage me. And we need people. We need people in our lives. We need partners. We need people who will stand along, who can support, yeah, who we can make ourselves accountable to, who will stand there and help us and encourage us. Amen? We are not in this thing alone. That's why Elam is called a fellowship of people who stand together. That's why Grand Valley Christian Center is called a community of believers, people who stand together. Amen? We are not in this thing alone. Paul had partners. And if we want to finish this thing race well, we need people who will stand along with us, and we don't work in isolation. Amen? So, Pastor Dunstan, I urge you, pursue God's presence. Be a man of prayer dependent on his power, engaging the support of others. And apply these principles in your life, and you'll be able to say like Paul, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So, Pastor Dunstan, I'm going to ask you to stand. Jessica, would you stand with Pastor Dunstan? This is where we come to a little bit more of the formal part of the ordination service. I want to ask you some questions. Do you believe in your heart that you are truly called by God and his church to be a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you now, in the presence of the church, commit yourself to this responsibility and trust?
Yes.
Will you commit yourself to grow in Christ through study of the Bible and pursue those things that will make you a stronger and more able minister of Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Will you commit yourself to faithfully serve both God and his people? To lead them into his presence, power, and grace so that they can come to know him?
Yes.
Will you commit to build up the body of Christ along with your other fellow ministers?
Yes.
Will you do your best to pattern your life in accordance with the word of God so that you may be a life-giving example to the people?
Yes.
Will you persevere in prayer both for yourself and for others? Do you accept the value, the faith and values of Elam Fellowship Canada and promise to be loyal to Elam? And will you be loyal to the people that God has called you to serve to the best of your ability by his power here at Grand Valley Christian Center?
Yes.
So in accordance with your confession, by the authority given to me, by our Lord Jesus Christ, as a member of the Presbytery of Elam Fellowship Canada, I ordain you to the ministry that God has called you to. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to move this pulpit out of the way, and I'm going to have two chairs brought forward. You don't have to. Thank you, Mike. I'm going to ask Pastor Dunstan and Jessica to take a seat. And I want to invite those from Elam Fellowship Canada to come forward. And I also want to invite the eldership from Grand Valley Christian Center to come forward along with their wives and come. And we're going to lay hands on Pastor Dunstan. And as we begin to pray, I want to release a prophetic anointing in the house. And I want to just allow, thank you, Sister Nalette, for coming. I want to release a prophetic word. Move as the Holy Spirit tells you to. If you, in the congregation of people, if you receive a prophetic word, I'm going to ask you to come to me and just share it, and I'll give you an opportunity for you to be able to share that as well. But let's go to the place of prayer and just pray over this couple. Father, I thank you for the faithfulness of Pastor Dunstan and Jessica. Father, I thank you that you have called them, anointed them, and appointed them. Father, right now, as we lay our hands on Pastor Dunstan and Jessica, we release a fresh anointing from your presence for this new season in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, come. Just pour over them and fill them afresh. Fill them afresh. Fill them afresh with power from on high to do all that you've called them to do in your power and in your might. We thank you, Father, that your hand is on them, that you are their God, that you do not fail them. We bless them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Pastor Dunstan, I just feel like the Lord is saying that the moment that you said in your heart long ago that there will be no other God before me, that the Lord God Almighty heard your words. He heard your heart. He saw your heart laid open before him. And at that moment in time, he destined you for this moment. He predestined you for this moment alone. That he has walked with you. He has talked with you. He has whispered things into your spirit and your heart that no man would have the wisdom on his own to whisper. So taking all of this, God has said that I have called you to this moment. I have worked with you. I have spoken to you. I have taken you through the hard times, the lonely times, the good times. I have built those things into you and around you for such a time as this. And so the Lord your God says that today, as you recommit yourself to that word that word that says, there is no other God before me. The Lord God will take you and he will mold you from this point on going forward. And you will never, ever be the same again. You will never turn back to the former things. Even the things of yesterday, you will not turn back from. Because right now, the Lord is saying, you will go forward in new spirit and new truth.
I just wanted to look at you and say to you, this is not your idea. This was not your idea. This is not your idea. You have not chosen me. I have chosen you. And I have ordained you that you would go forth and not make a name for yourself, but you would go forth and bear fruit, and that fruit will remain, and whatever you ask the Father in my name, you got it. Your gift indeed will make room for you and bring you before great men, but do not just rest in that pocket. Rest in the pocket. This is not my idea. It's yours.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I actually didn't know who was being ordained today, which is good. But I was awakened in the night. And the Lord said, and I believe this is for both of you, that in the natural you may not be super tall. But God is saying that in his eyes, you are way tall. Way tall.
Amen. Amen.
And that you have gone through things in your life that a lot of us can't relate to. But he's well pleased because you have stood tall in adversity. You have stood tall to get where you are today. And he says, in my eyes, you are way tall. And this morning, thank you, Jessica, for your gift of leading people into worship. Yes. Yes. And I was quickened to this, and I want to read this from Jeremiah 1. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you as prophets to the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. And I believe what the Lord is wanting us to do as a team here today is to reanoint your lips, because there is power in what comes out of your mouth. You have yet to see the power that God is going to bring forth from your mouth. That you are going to be able to stand in front of people, in front of nations, declaring the word of the Lord, and you will change atmospheres. So, Lord, today we just re-anoint, we reignite these lips. And we say, speak forth the word of God, because there is power in your lips. So receive the tallness of the Lord and rise up into all that he's called you, because you have not dreamed yet of what God has called you to be and to do. So, Father, we thank you for this couple who you have ordained to do your work in your kingdom, to bring glory to your name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Just as I came
walking up here, I saw very, very large, like waves, tsunami waves coming over the two of you. And just the words of the Lord, that the power of the Lord is going with you wherever you go. And it's the anointing of the kingdom. It's the anointing of the Father. And Jessica, just specifically for you, I know that Pastor Denson is being ordained and has been recognized this morning, but I just heard the Lord say that you are a couple, and as you walk in the oneness of the Holy Spirit, the ministry that you carry is being woven together even more than it ever has before in your relationship together. And I saw him just anointing your prophetic worship so that it is even higher than you have experienced in the past. I just really sense that there is an artesian bubbling up of the prophetic worship inside of you. And when you ignite and let that come out of you, there's going to be healing and restoration going on in the hearts and minds of men. And I just really feel like the two of you as a couple have a healing ministry of restoration to the heart of men and women and young children. So I just really want to bless you and just say, God, would you just pour your spirit out? And I pray for just the unity of the one spirit, Lord, that just comes from the anointing from the kingdom of heaven, Lord, that you would just have their back in everything that they do, and that you would just cause them to rise and shine, Lord, and that your light would be all around them, that the glory of the Lord would just manifest itself so greatly through this couple. In your glorious name, Pop, I pray. Amen.
Do not be afraid of the faces of people. Just keep your eyes on me. I am the one that has called you. I am the one who will lead you. Turn not to the left or the right. And you and your wife are not two separate people. You're a one in my eyes. Your anointing is her anointing as well. You will both be led somewhere maybe that y'all don't know yet. I will be with you. Don't be afraid. For I have called you. Y'all are mine. Y'all belong to me. You listen to my word. Don't look unto man, for man will fail you. But I will never fail you. I love you with an everlasting love. And with strong arms, I have called you to myself. Be faithful, my beloved children, says the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. I've just been percolating on a word or a concept just during the week, just thinking about coming. And at first, I thought the word was endurance, just that sense of being able to hold fast. This morning it's become more clear. It's the word fortitude. It's the ability to stand with courage in the face of adversity and pain. Not just to endure it, but to stand in the face of it with courage, and actually overcome it. It's an attitude. It's an attitude. Actually overcome it. And the sense that I have is that God wants you to know
Okay, fortitude doesn't come, okay, just on the spur of the moment, like when you're there. It's something that's built in you, okay? As you learn to lay hold of him, as you learn to come to him in the face of adversity and pain, okay, he allows there to be an increase, okay, of that which comes, okay, to test the man, so the man learns to turn to God. And all this morning I've heard this really clearly for you, okay, the need in everything to turn to him. Who you are is more important than what you do, because what you do will be challenged, okay, to see whether or not who you are is more important to you than what you do. Okay? But God wants to release into you a fortitude. And I just want to lay my hands on, and what an incredible anointing rests on you. Okay? You have the character to hold it. Okay? And I saw when you were sitting over here, I saw the two of you together. I thought, oh, this is great. We're going to lay hands on them. I didn't even recognize that you were the one leading us in worship. It's like you have the ability to step into your anointing with power and with authority, and you have the ability to come right alongside of him. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. An incredible thing. Okay? Hallelujah. So let me just release this. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come, okay, to bring this gift. Lord, not just to prophesy and this is to say this is for your future, but to actually speak the word fortitude over him as a substance that will go right into God, his heart, into his mind, into his very bones. Hallelujah. That God, hallelujah, the two of them together will receive such fortitude from you that, God, they will face adversity, they will face pain, but they will not face it cowering under it. They will not face it, Father, just simply enduring through it, hunkering down, hoping it passes. But, God, they will step into it saying, this is my territory. This is what God has given me to take. I will face it. I will overcome it. I will gain territory through it. I will rise above it because I know the one who is with me, who is in me, and who has called me. I release that now in the name of Jesus. Amen.
My wife doesn't even know this, what I'm going to share. But before I went to sleep last night, I asked God to give me a dream for you. Okay. I went to sleep. You can't argue with dreams. So I'm just going to share the dream, and then I'm going to give you the interpretation of what I feel. Okay. In the dream, and I woke up this morning remembering this dream, which is a miracle, because I don't remember my dreams. But I asked God to give me a dream for you. And I woke up, and in the dream, I was in this large theater. And don't laugh at me, but the singer on the stage was like a country and western singer. And then it changed. And I realized it was one of the worship leaders in heaven. And you're connected to that. Okay. And this worship leader started to sing. And I realized he was singing a declaration from God's throne for you, for your life. And Ralph, what you said this morning, that prophetic word, almost bounced me right out of my chair, because here's what God said. I am who I am. I am who I say I am. And God is saying to you, when when you grasp who God says you are, nothing will sway you. So this worship leader of heaven said, I am who I am. I am who I say I am. So it's identity. When you get that identity deep within you, nothing will move you. And then he started singing, you are who you are. You are who I say you are. And I realized then that the theater, there was nobody in the theater, only you. And you were out there. And God's voice was on the stage. And he was saying it and singing right to you. I am who I say you are. You are who you say you are. And God is saying that for this time, when you get that deep down within you, nothing will sway you. And I don't know, are you guys from other nations? Okay. Can you tell me what you're... And where are you from? Kenya. Here's what I see. The prophetic stream that has come down through your nation has come together for such a time as this in Canada. There are qualities in your nation that have come down through your family line. Do you have children? God is saying you're going to have a lot of children. No, let me just keep going here. God is saying you are going to have a lot of spiritual children.
Okay.
And the two nation streams coming together is going to make their impact felt in those children for Canada, because we need that prophetic stream. And God is saying, this is the time. And God is saying, it is very important for us, but for you, to know the seasons of God. Okay? And what I get is, you know that little thing that was very popular with the children called fidget? Fidget? Well, that... I'm not saying you have anxiety, okay? But what I am saying is when that fidget turns and when you tilt it, there's pressure to upright it, to come back to level. And God is saying that you will sense that pressure. You will sense that pressure in your spirit. And you have sensed it, but you will sense it in a deeper way to upright things that need to be brought back to balance, okay? And that thing that turns is a prophetic turning in your life. That when you feel that pressure, and you will feel that pressure in your spirit to bring balance back, and God will release his mandate through that. But you, when you have a sense of feeling that pressure of when you tilt that fidget, is that what you call it? Fidget? Spinner? But there's a pressure when you tilt it to want to come back and be level. And God is saying you will feel that pressure. Okay? And you will feel that pressure too. And that's why there's an importance of two streams coming into one. But you will know the seasons. You know what you will know when God is releasing something in Jesus' name.
Ralph shared with you today what the Lord has even been speaking in my life lately is that he says, walk with me and I will walk with you. Simple words, right? Another thing we've heard a lot today, but one of the things are it's servanthood. You know, and when servanthood is spoken of in Scripture, it's a totally different thing. We just think of the servant, you know, you see the servant doing this and this, but in that day and time, it was a bond slave. You're selling or giving your life to the Lord and not accepting anything else. You're giving yourself to Him. And sacrifice. Sacrifice is a costly thing, and it can be a painful thing. And our Lord exhibited that to the greatest extent possible. And you need to know as you enter into these things that it is a sacrificial thing. And it is a sacrificial thing that will follow you all the days of your lives. And finally, it's something that I know that Rudy and Ralph and other of us know of a gentleman that used to speak into our hearts days ago. That all the words that you have heard today come from human beings like yourself who have walked out these journeys. And when you hear words spoken over you, you need to take them into yourselves and see how God is going to fulfill them, right? Because we're just human, like you. And that as God speaks, that we need to sit down and see what He is speaking out for us in those words as the years comes. And sometimes things that are spoken now don't happen until way down the road, and you don't even realize that it's happened. Afterwards, you're a very quiet man from the little I know of you, Dunstan, and I don't know you, Jessica, too. is this true? Yes. She's the firecracker? I'll use that word. And sometimes it would almost seem like she's running ahead of you. But then there will be times that it's like he's moving thing, and Mac, as you said, the two streams coming together, and it'll be like that flow, because that's how God works. He's trying to reveal things into our lives, each of us in different ways, but to bring them together and meld them into something He wishes to do and desires to do in your hearts. Nothing deeply profound, but just words. I was in England a few years ago, and I was in a coffee shop or library thing in this old church, and they have a coffee shop and everything in that basement, but it's an ancient basement. And on the wall I went in, and it says, stand at the crossroads, you're at a crossroad, and look for the ancient paths, the paths that God has laid out, and walk in it, and you'll find rest for your souls. Jeremiah 6:16. That up and follow it through. And if you follow it through to the end, you'll see where Jeremiah says, but you people don't want to walk in it, but there has to be that step of a willingness to walk in it. And Isaiah said, is in repentance and rest is your salvation, in quietness and trust is your strength. So that hits with the quiet man, who I think you'd like to take time and think about with the Lord. And both of you walk that out, how the Lord brings it about in your lives.
I get a lot of pictures from God, and I was sitting back there, and it was just, wow, what a revelation. His timing is everything, and it's perfect, and it's the season right now that this weekend there's a ton of gardens being planted, and you being ordained, the ground is fertile. You're being planted, both of you. And what God was showing me is once He planted you in this fertile ground, He started pouring the Spirit all over you like miracle growth. And it was just, it's crazy. It's really exciting what's coming up, how fast it's going to grow and abundantly. And He's asked me to impart to you ridiculous favor. That's what I give you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Don, to Jeff.
I was just trying to hold back there and be an observer. But when I saw you first outside, you didn't see me. I was still in my car. And I didn't know who who was going to be ordained today. I knew somebody was. And I'll tell you, the Lord shows me things in a kind of a strange way sometimes, but there was almost a light radiating from you. And the presence of the Lord was so real. And then when I saw that you were the one who was going to be ordained, I said, yes, that's him. He's being touched. And you are tiny. You're very pretty. But she is powerful, man. I don't think I have to tell you that. And you two are meant to be working together, not one more important than the other. And when you came and sat beside him and I saw, found out what their connection really was, that this is right. This is right. I'm glad I'm here today because the Lord's at work. Now, you're going to have some difficulties, and you heard about that this morning. But take each one of them as almost a compliment because God is going to do a brand new work in you each time to make you stronger so that you can help other people who are going through similar things. And you have each other. You're going to have your weak times. He's going to lift you up. You're going to have your weak times, and she is there. And she's powerful. There's no question. He's agreeing with me. I'm glad you are. But you're going to be taking the message of the gospel, and this is both of you, not just to this country, but you're going to be well-trained here before you do. And you're with a man of God I've known for a long time, and he takes things very seriously. He's not a religious man. He has a relationship. And it passes on, and I've seen it come from him many times. And he's not afraid to cry in front of others, and that to me is strength. That's not weakness. And so you're gonna be dealing with people who are going through difficulties, and you're gonna be so surprised that when you open your mouth to answer and you haven't got a clue how to deal with that situation. And I've had this happen to me, and it's great. Something comes out and you say, where did that come from? And it's the answer to their situation. You're both going to learn exactly what that means. I'm so glad I'm here today to witness this because what each person has said to you is so real and registered as truth in my heart too. And I'm looking forward to, I'm going to be watching because you're going to be ministering in other countries as well as this one. And you're supposed to keep notes, good notes of everything that happens in your ministry. And because that book that'll be coming out from, that's going to be written by both of you, is going to be very, very beneficial to many, many people. You've got a wonderful life ahead of you, a wonderful one. Amen.
I was reading this morning in the Gospel of Mark, and I actually thought it was for next Saturday, but I think it's for today. And it's the story of blind Bartimaeus. And Jesus came to the city of Jericho, and the scripture says that he came to the city, and he was, the very next sentence says, he was out of the city because he was on a mission. He had a heart for people, and he was on a mission appointed by the Father to go wherever the Father said to go. But in the city, there was a man who had a need, and that was Bartimaeus. And he saw Jesus passing through the city, and he heard the crowd. Sorry, he didn't see him. He heard the crowd who saw Jesus, and he recognized, this is a man that can meet my need. And he began to cry out loud, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The crowd said, shh. Be quiet. He would not, because he had a need, and there was a man who could meet that need. The scripture says something that arrested me, because I always thought you are either moving forward in God or you are moving backward. But it said Jesus stood still. He stood still because he heard the cry of a man who had a need. And he said, bring him to me. And the people said, be of good cheer. He's calling you. He's calling you. He has such a call on your life. He has such a call on your life. But Jesus said to Bartimaeus, what can I do for you? What is your need? And Bartimaeus said, I want to see. I want to see. And I believe God has an anointing on both of you as seers, not just prophets, as that word was of Jeremiah, but seer prophets. And God is raising up in the body of Christ in this hour, like never before, seers.
Right.
Who see, John, you are a seer. Who see in the Spirit and see by the Spirit in the natural. And you can call forth things in people's lives that it's not by the natural. It's a revelatory gift. It's by the Spirit. With that comes a discerning of what is evil, a discerning of what is good, a discerning of what is human. And with that gift, you're able to see into the character of people and call forth their destiny, call forth their purpose. It will happen in the worship. It will happen in prophetic worship. As you yield yourself and spend time, as we heard this morning, in this presence, in prayer, and totally, it's only by dependence upon him that that gift can function. It's by the Spirit of God that it flows. There are, I believe there's many in this Elam Fellowship who God is calling into this seer anointing. It is for whosoever will, but it's in the presence of God that it grows and matures. Hebrews says that it's by practice that that discernment develops. And as you practice, not just in the body of Christ, God's heart is for the world. It is for the world. Whoever said you'll be going to nations, it's not just Canada. Yes, yes, yes. But the world. And not just the world in terms of nations, but people. Mm-hmm. God's Amen. Heart Amen. Is for the lost. Amen. His heart is for the world. There's a price to the gift, but it's worth the price. It's worth the price. And I just release a greater level of that seeing anointing, that discerning of spirit into your life, to see what God is seeing, to hear what God is hearing, and to move in the power of that, to do whatever the Father's doing. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And Father, may it bring such increase in this fellowship and to the Elam Fellowship. May it bring increase, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Which, the seer thing, there's a uniqueness. God's given you a creativity, a uniqueness to see completely out of the box, both of you. And there's a uniqueness you'll be able to see. You'll see things and solutions that you'll go, wow, that's different. That's God. Don't be afraid of it. Step in it, because that's part of what the seeing is. And it's joined together. And as I've said before, you are standing together as one. Amen. You're called together. And now, to see if you're worthy, you need to repeat all of those. No. All of the words have been recorded so you can go and review. So, Father, I thank you that they stand together as one. Father, I thank you for your encouragement to them. I thank you for the heart that they've put in them, the heart to serve, a heart that cares for your people. Father, a heart that is willing to sacrifice to serve you in spite of cost to them. And Father, I pray that you would honor them. Father, even as you are setting them in their place, I pray your blessing. Father, I pray your provision, Father. I ask for provision in every matter in Jesus' name. And Father, we bless them. Again, Holy Spirit, fill them. And we thank you for what you're doing. And we seal these words by the Spirit to bear fruit in their season in Jesus' name. And the church said,
Amen.
Amen. So in recognition, we just want to give you this certificate of ordination. Amen. Would you stand? Now let's honor Reverend Dunstan and Jessica Gomes.
My wife has even instructed me what to say. So much of that is true. First and foremost, I just want to thank God. I think everything you guys said just now, it's, I know. Thank you, hon. I know everything that you guys said. There's so much truth to that. All of this is just trying to love God and trying to walk and know Him. And like you said, and this is where it's brought us, right? So it's not, we didn't plan it. It's just, yeah, our devotion to Him. And that's something that He's put in us too, so I can't even, we can't even take credit for it either. And so, thank you. There's so much thanks to give, but I want to give God thanks because He did this. A couple of years ago as well, He gave us a word for me and Jessica. And the word for me was, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon you because I've anointed you to preach the good news. I haven't really told a lot of people. I don't think, I think I spoke to, do you know that? Okay, I spoke to Pastor Ralph, but I really haven't really spoken to anybody about that. And it's funny, that was verse one. Verse two was what my wife came to me one day and said, and that is to bind up the brokenhearted. And so we kind of know for a little bit that we were called in this thing together. And I just want to thank God for that. I want to thank God for Pastor Ralph. He's allowed me to be who I am, you know. So I can go to him, and I can just give it however. And he takes it and refines it and chops it up and give it back to me. So I think that's very important, right? As he said, I came in here looking for a mentor, somebody that will mentor me into ministry. And so, you know, I thank you and I honor you. I want to thank my wife. You know, this lady, hey, there was no way, I thank you, Jesus, but there is no way that I could have done ministry without her. There is absolutely no way. No way. No way. No way that I could have do what I do without her. It's not possible. I can't tell you the amount of times I wanted to run, but she would tell me, Dunstan, pop, 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 pop. It's not words I want to hear, but she will say it anyway. And so I thank you. I honor you for that. I just want to thank so much. There's so many of you that are here. There's some of you from a different, the previous church that I attend. You guys know yourselves. You guys have been family to us. We love you, and we thank you for your support. We've learned so much from you. And you've been such an encouragement to us. And so we thank you. Thank you, thank you. And our church family, guys, you guys know. You know, you guys help me and Jessica to be who we are. You know, you came here, you come here every Sunday and you listen to us. Well, almost every other Sunday. Whenever we have a time to preach, whenever we have a time to minister, you've always encouraged us. And you've encouraged us in so many different ways. I can't tell you about how many times people encourage us individually. We have so much gems in this house. So I just want to thank you so much for your encouragement and for your many blessings.
Amen. God is good. Indeed, He has been faithful. I broke down as she shared the verse because it reminded me of what God had said, that He would speak. And I came to Him and said, God is saying, bind up. Brokenhearted. So as I hear all the things said, it was overwhelming, because you could never have been in that place when we had that conversation. Indeed, it's God, and I'm humbled. I'm absolutely humbled. I said ministry is his. I just help him along. And he's always said, no, you're the pastor. I am just helping you along. So, no. So he says he's the assistant, but this is God's doing. And it's marvelous in our eyes. We thank God.
Also, thank you for all those that came from Elam. We thank you very much for your support. God bless you.
Rousing worship song. Let's all stand together.